Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're on part 50 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. I could actually do thousands of messages or write thousands of books if I had time on this earth to do it on how to have God's life living in you. I could also write thousands of books on what Christ is and what God is and what the church is. But the Lord simplifies it in the book of Revelations. In the book of Revelation, it's a very difficult book for a person to understand unless they understand the first verse in the book of Revelation, where it talks about that John, that the Lord Jesus Christ showed John what must shortly come to pass. And he said that by the angel, he signified by sending this angel or a messenger to him. And so he showed them. He didn't preach to them. He showed him. That means he showed him symbols, figures, types, pictures, signs. Signs are pictures. You go down the freeway and you see a sign that's a picture of something that somebody wants you to know. Well, the Bible says that Jesus showed John. Okay, and so I've written something up on that, and you could, as I said, you could mention or write or read thousands of books, and you still wouldn't clearly know what the church is. But the Lord shows it in just one symbol in the Bible, and it just totally shows you exactly what that is. And we're telling you that. I don't know whether we'll get to that today or this evening or wherever you, whenever you're listening to this, morning, afternoon, or evening, but we'll get to it, Lord willing. And I know He's willing. But right now we have some letters, but let's go to the throne of the Lord. And Father, I ask You that You will anoint outwardly this service, that You will make Your words known unto the world and the church. Much of the church, Father, as You know, is lying in darkness. They have, many of the churches, which are human beings that have Your Spirit in them, have left You and forsaken You, and therefore You cannot be said to have left and forsaken them, but they, Lord, have forsaken You. They've left You and forsaken You and walk no longer with You and walk no longer with the fullness of Your Spirit. Lord, I ask that there are many of them that may not have gone too far, or they become Antichrist, as Your word states that they shall be when they turn their back on You and walk no more with You, as it mentions in John 6:6. Strengthen the church, Father. And let Your words convict the souls of those that are lost, that they might be saved. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from?
From Ghana, Africa.
Hear it.
Dear Pastor, I cannot express in words my joy at receiving the request I made. Accept my profound gratitude for Your kindness. May God richly bless you. The Word of God in your literature has really touched my heart. I have made up my mind to change absolutely. However, my problem now is the sort of church to attend. Honestly speaking, there is now many false prophets spread all over here in Ghana. Sometimes I fear to attend a bad church, so as I'm speaking, I don't attend any church at all.
Well, you're very wise, but you Actually, the Bible says, "Know ye not that you're the temple of God?" And the body of Christ, those that have Christ living in them with his Father by the Spirit, which is actually Christ is the triune God. He represented God here on earth. He told us who God was. And he himself let us know that he was God. So it was very easy for us to know, not in an arbitrary way as most people that don't know God, and the God to them is so far off, but Jesus became the tabernacle of God, of the triune God, and tabernacled among us. That means that God was living in him, and he had to be come in the flesh in order to die for us. The human body of Christ died and was made perfect. He was begotten by the perfect God, so that that which was in him was perfect, and his that which was in him was able to keep his physical human body with human blood, human bones, and human flesh perfect, so that his blood would be the only detergent in the universe that could take away our sins. There's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. Christ shed his blood for us, showing us the ultimate love, that a God would love us so much, even while we were horrible sinners, wicked, and those of us that even hated the sight of the cross and hated the name of Jesus, us Jews. But then the Lord shone his light into this world, not in a human being to me, because I never saw anybody that I respected as a Christian before I was saved, but the Lord visited me himself and shone his light into my dark soul, into my dead spirit, and caused me, quickened me, frightened me, and caused me to come to life. I was resurrected by Christ, who is the first fruits of the resurrection. He was the very first one to be resurrected from the dead. The Bible says that. When God took he raised Lazarus from the dead. The Bible states that still was not the resurrection and the life. Christ resurrected him from the dead. Christ with the Spirit of the Father. And so Christ was the first resurrected that ascended into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So there's going to be a resurrection day for all of us. We are resurrected from the dead, our spirits, those of us that are born again of the Spirit. But there is the second resurrection that happens, and that's when we, after we've been transformed by walking in the light and representing Christ, God Almighty, in this world by his light living in us, by him himself living in us, the triune God, then here we are able to ascend up into heaven as Christ did. He was the first fruits, and we are the rest of the fruit that enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, now let's finish his letter.
Initially, I used to attend a Saturday church, which I believed it would help my Christian life, but I just don't know why I stopped. If you attend a different church...
Well, the reason you stopped is because you weren't getting fed there. When you're being fed, you can't wait to get to church. Amen?
Amen.
When you're being fed by the Holy Spirit. So there are many churches, you know, and it really doesn't make any difference what day, or there's like gathering places where the church meets. Again, the church is the body of Christ, and it talks about this in the book of Revelation. And I'm going to be getting into that. the one picture that tells us what the church is. The church is a combination of God, who is signified in the Bible as the lampstand, the golden lampstand, because gold is representative of the essence of God, pure. And then it talks about the seven spirits, and it talks about the lampstands being the church, because we are the ones that will represent Christ with the Father by the Spirit in this world, and Christ is the lampstand, and we are in the body of Christ. So the lampstand shows us who the church is. Amen?
Amen.
We are one with God. Now, you can't get any more defined than that. Amen?
Amen.
But I've spelled it out. I've written it out. I'm just saying something quickly here. So you could go to a church on Saturday, and you could go to one on Sunday that you think is a church. And if you're not being fed there, if there's no Spirit of God, the seven spirits of God, well, then you're not receiving anything. You can't quite figure out why you don't want to go, because it's like a chore to go, because it's hard to sit in a church where there's or a place that is a supposed gathering place of the church that you're not receiving anything from the Lord. So, but we'll get to that later. Then go ahead.
If you attend a different church, they will say something different. If you attend another one, they will say a different thing.
Right, but Christ is the same yesterday. In other words, the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same. Amen?
Amen.
So it, you never will vary or be different. Christ is the light of the world. Amen?
Amen.
We are the lights of the world. The sevenfold lampstands, these have seven lamps on them, or lights, that's the symbolic of the seven spirits of the Lord. Well, if you're in the Lord and the Lord is in you, you have the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and it's gratifying, and it makes you feel strong, and you feel weak when you don't attend the with the meetings at the meeting hall or the gathering place with the rest of the church in your local area. Now, there are local churches all over the world, and the combination of all of them together is the church. Some people are blessed with teachers and pastors that are filled with the seven spirits of the Lord, and they pray that God will speak his words through them, and when they do, it's God talking to you. It isn't some man talking about a football game or all the different names of Jesus and all this or whatever he studied that day. It is the very essence of God, which is symbolized in the book of Revelation as gold. The essence of God is life. And when you attend a service for God is ministering, he's ministering life to you, not death. And there's something that the soul knows. The soul knows when it's being ministered to by God, by life. Christ is the life. He's the shining, the light of the world. And then we, by receiving that light or the life of God, the fullness of him, we become the lights of the world as well. And this is the church, because you're not a church unless you're bringing forth life. And you cannot bring forth life unless life is living in you and being ministered to you daily. All right, then what?
In fact, I've become frustrated.
Well, of course, the whole world is frustrated. Okay, then what?
Pastor, my greatest request as of now is that you help me know the right church to attend.
Well, you're the church. And attend these messages. Get my messages. Look up my website. and read your Bible. And that's where you're going to be fed. If you're going to a place that they call a church and it's turning you off, well, God isn't there. Yeah, you're bored because God, there's more of God in you than there is in the church. Does that make sense? If I know God and I go to a place that doesn't know God and they're trying to minister to me something that is not God, I not only get bored, but I get extremely angry, as I do when I watch the television evangelists. Sometimes they preach well, and sometimes some of them preach well, and some of them just turn me off. And so I turn them off. Okay, what else?
I'm really ready to serve the Lord with all my heart, mind, and strength. Please, if possible, help me attend your church in the USA. I really mean it. Please help me. For the meantime, my question is, on what particular day does the Bible say we should attend church services, Saturday or Sunday?
Well, when did Jesus and the disciples attend church? They attended themselves. They're the church, amen?
Amen.
You must attend church or communicate with the church or have meetings every day. Otherwise, people fall away. That's why I bring messages every day. Because if you don't attend on a daily basis, Satan is firing at you, shooting fiery darts at you 7 days a week. He starts in the morning when you get up, and he continues on until you go to bed at night. And so you need God's life, God's power. You need Christ with the Father by the Spirit ministering to you on a daily basis. You need to be a member of the lampstand, because the church is the lampstand, because it has God, Jesus, the seven spirits of God, and you become one in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That's a picture. That's a sign. That tells you more than if you would read 2,000 books. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what? And this is what God, Christ, showed John. It showed him these things. He did not tell them necessarily, but he showed. It says the Bible plainly states he showed it to him. Come here and read that. Have you got the first chapter of Revelation there, verse 1? Does it not say he showed him?
Yes.
Things that he showed him?
Yes.
Okay, let me see. Let me hear.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him.
God gave it unto Christ because Christ was God. And God gave the revelation to himself, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Because Jesus is the representative of God. He represented God in the world, and God represented Christ. These and the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Okay, then what?
To show unto his servants.
To show, that's the key word. To show unto his servants. Not to tell unto his servants, but to show unto his servants these symbols, these signs, these pictures that are better than 1,000 words. Amen?
Amen.
Better than 1,000 words. Or 1,000 books or 10,000 books. Amen. One symbol, one picture. Like I remember when God gave my wife Susie to me, my deceased wife. She died in April 8th, 82. And he didn't say, well, you two are going to have to get married. He told her first, he was showing her pictures of Sue and myself walking through an arbor that had huge roses with dew dripping off them. I was in a tuxedo. And at the time, I only weighed about 150 pounds somewhere in there, but she saw me as 200 pounds. And the way I quickly became after she started making mashed potatoes and gravy and things like that for me, she made the mashed potatoes with half and half, and she wanted to fatten me up. She says, nobody respects, a, you know, a, in the ministry, somebody that's skinny that looks like Frankie Avalon or Tony Curtis or something. And this is the way, well, everybody said I looked back then. She said, you got a fatten up, boy. And so I listened to her, and she'd put this food in front of me, and I'd eat it, and I'm telling you the truth, I would gain sometimes a pound a day. And within a very short period of time, I weighed 200. But the Lord showed that to her. And she was fighting it because I was just newly saved, and she'd been in the ministry for 25 years. But she was seeing it all night long. It's just us walking through this arbor, her with a wedding dress on and myself in a tux. And then I had a toothache real bad, and she promised to take me to the dentist. We were, she had a Bible school going, and I'd go over there every morning. And I'd bring a lot of people with me that I'd witnessed to on the streets, and I'd give my testimony of what happened to me in the office and how I had this other visions of heaven and hell and how I was saved in an apartment house in Hollywood. And the Lord showed me pictures there of hell, or the flicker of hell on a brick wall, and let me hear the people screaming down there. I not only saw visuals, but I mean the Lord pulled the breath in and out of me, which means I must be extra stupid, because the Bible said blessed is he that has believed and not seen visions and had all these things happen to me where the Lord pulled the spirit in and out of me and really visited me and threatened me and told me that I had to get up and preach when I hadn't even read a Bible. I didn't know why. All I could say was repent, get on your knees, and things like that. Well, so those were signs for me to get saved. And the pictures really helped a lot. And also him pulling the breath in and out of me to show me that it was really God dealing with me and not my imagination. Drugs, because I was not on drugs. I've always been a health, strength, and energy type person. I was one of the first people in the world's largest chain of health studios, fitness centers, which was the American Health Studios at Celebrate Figure Form. We had 300 studios. And then the same people had Family Fitness Center and 24-hour fitness that I was in business with back then. But anyway, the Lord showed a picture. Then I had this toothache. It was real bad. And I was about, it was like a rotten tooth, and I bit into one of these marshmallow, chocolate-covered marshmallow cookies. They call them whirls or something, and it really caused me to have a horrible toothache. And I couldn't wait until morning, where Sue was going to take me over to her dentist and introduce me to him. But anyway, I came up and I was waiting for her. There were several people that would sleep on the floor up there because they got saved and they didn't have anywhere to go. And I went up there and I sat on the couch. And the pain went away. And this pain kept me up all night long, and I was very tired. And I fell sound asleep because it was so comforting that because the pain went away. And I just dozed off really deep. And here came, just like a television set, it showed a picture of Susie lying with a velour, red velour top and blue pants. Her hair wasn't dark anymore. It was blonde and it was short. It had little bangs, and I couldn't understand. I knew it was her, and she had really a lot of lipstick on and eyelashes and everything, makeup, and showed me walking into the room and kneeling down by the couch and holding her and kissing her. And it showed our profiles, and I pushed myself up from sleep. I said, no, this is my Bible teacher. This is ungodly, because I really had a fear of the Lord, because he showed me hell. in heaven, and I knew that it was wrong, that I lived the kind of life where, you know, it was just free, just do whatever you want, and I didn't want to do that anymore. And so I just pushed myself up, and I was awake, and the vision was still there when I was awake, and there was puffs of the Holy Spirit, like smoke rings around me, saying, I said, no, Lord. I said, she's smarter than I am. And the Lord said, that's good for your ego. And I thought, ego? I mean, I didn't realize that I had an ego, because I really felt crushed now that I was saved. And I didn't want to do anything, and I didn't know anything about the spiritual realm, except that God was real. And I said, but she knows more than I do. He says, yeah, that's good for your ego. And then he just kept saying, it's true. I said, she knows more about the Bible than I do. She's been saved longer than I am, and I'm, you know, younger than she is. And, I mean, this is impossible. And the Spirit came down, it's true, 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 it's true. And all of a sudden, this vision of us in full color turned to black and white. And we, just our profiles were in white, like it was like shimmering white, hot steel. And our images kept shimmering and came right into my soul. It came right in, and there was like a ringing, a real supernatural ringing that went with it, and it went, and it just zed, thudded right into my heart, and I'm wide awake, and saying, "My God, I thought God was killing me," and I thought how easy he could have catch a person in their sleep, just as he caught me there and showed me this vision, quickly he can take a person's soul and just pull it out of you, which he did in my when I was in that office in Beverly Hills about a few months before that. And so I wondered what this was, and so I laid back down. I was face down on the couch, and I thought, I wonder if she knows that. And because I saw the picture, it shows us kissing and holding each other and together, and our faces were still kissing when this vision came, and it just riddled right into my soul. And I said, if I see her, I was saying to myself, I'll know if she knows too. And so I felt her presence come up towards me. And there were other people in the room. And I thought, oh my God, this is super, so supernatural. I can't believe it. It was frightened me to death. And I just quickly looked up at her, and I turned away quickly. Her face had a look of horror on it, and her hands were up in the air, and her eyes were just frightened. And I says, oh my God, she knows. And so I got up off the couch after she left, and I noticed her hair was cut just like it was in the vision. She just cut it the night before, and I didn't know it. And so she was taking me down to the dentist, and we got to this Lido Hotel, which is on Coringa Boulevard. It was back then. I don't think it's there anymore. And I couldn't help saying this. Sue, I had the most crazy dream. She says, what was it? I says, whoa, what are you talking like that for? You know, so pointed. She says, no, tell me what it was. And she never talked to me like that before. And I says, well, I can't tell you. And she says, tell me what it is. You have to tell me what it is. Because in her dream, she says, I don't believe it, Lord, but if it is you, you show him too and make him tell me. Then I'll know it's from you. And so I says, I can't tell you. And we just, the toothache went away. And I says, and I'm hungry. I said, let's go get something to eat. So we went over to a place called Aldo's or Coffee Dan's on Hollywood Boulevard. And we were eating in there, and I said, I still wouldn't tell. I said, let's go over to Music City and listen to some records over there, because they used to let you go in a listening booth. And she just kept persisting. She knew how to just push you right into a corner and run you up a tree. And finally I just says, all right. I said, the dream was about you and me. And she said, yes. And crazy as that we were going to be married. And she hooked her arm in mine and said, yes. And she opened the booth and we walked out. And she says, we're going to bed. She says, I saw it before you did. And we marched off. And that was it. And to her, I was the greatest guy in the world. And there wasn't anybody that could tell her any bad thing about me. Even though I am a crude, rude, she called me brutally honest type person. She says, no one can tell me anything bad about you. She says, you tell the truth. And you've never lied to me. And so, let's go. And she started selling her furniture in her apartment. And it just was God to her. You know, this is God. And he showed it to us not with talking so much, but in pictures. And that's what we're talking about here. He showed these things to John, okay? The things that must shortly come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
So that during the day of Revelation, when things are unveiled, when the purpose of God, the plan of God, is being revealed unto the world, and through his Son, Christ Jesus, who is actually God himself, and through the church. And this is why the Lord is showing in pictures the church the things that they must be in the last day. They must be God, the essence of God, gold. They must be a bright and shining light. They must be pure. They must be the representative of God Almighty on this earth, or there no one will they be able to see the picture of a true person that has God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit living in them. Do you understand why the pictures are so important?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Now, you couldn't read 1,000 books and get that out, but he condenses it now because Satan's power is so strong, he has to show us pictures. Amen?
Amen?
Because, you know, when you're teaching children, they learn much faster if you show them pictures. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we're like children. To God, we're all children. Amen?
Amen?
And so he shows it to us so that we'll be able to see it and be able to not only talk about it or debate with people about it, but we have to let him live out his life in us, to represent himself in us. It isn't a talk situation. We have to be the picture of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the gold, the Spirit, the seven spirits of God, the essence of God, the shining of Christ Almighty, the lights of the world. Jesus said that he was the light of the world. Then he said that we, the disciples, are the lights of the world. Now, how can anybody believe you if you're just like the world? Amen?
Amen.
You have to be a sign, a picture, a vision of God himself. Not an imitation, but the actual fullness of the Godhead bodily living in and through you in this world. Okay? So, have I made my point? Okay, good. Now, let's go on to the next subject. Okay, now the rest of this, okay.
I really want to attend Alamo Christian Ministries.
Well, then come on. Anyone that wants to, you know, your worries are over if you're with us, because we do provide. God has provided us with the wherewithal to put you up. And we'll teach you frontline ministry, you know, when you'll go on the streets with us and distribute literature and tell people what everything is about in this confusing last days. It's so confusing to people. There's so many churches, so many doctrines, so many false prophets, and so many things going on, so many diversions. All right, let's go. What else?
I'm eager to hear from you and looking forward to receive my requests as well. Sincerely yours, Davidson from Newtown, Ghana.
Okay, get that letter to Newtown and this tape and let him know what to do. Okay, we'll send a letter and whatever. Okay, what else?
Next letter's from El Paso, Texas. I'm writing to congratulate you for the message of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, given by Pastor Tony Alamo. I'm writing to request, if you still have it, the Messiah book.
Oh, we still have it. We just got another load of them. I think it's 100,000 of them that we just made up. And the next batch will probably be 500,000, and then maybe 1,000,000 or so after that. This is, okay, and then what else?
I was given a piece of literature written by Pastor Lamo from September 2002, and I marvel at the message of peace. I understand more of the Bible through this literature. If you still have more of that literature, please send more to me. Thank you for the messages, and I'm praying for the Lord to bless you richly. May the peace of God be with you all, your brother in Christ, Manuel from El Paso, Texas.
Praise the Lord, Brother Manuel. We'll send it to you right away. Give him a load of literature in the Messiah book, in English and Spanish also, and let him know in the package that if he has friends there, if he wants to be a distributor, El Paso, Juarez, you know, let's get it going over there. Amen?
Amen.
What else?
Next letter's from Kitwe, Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that this letter will find you blessed and prospering in the power of God. I was highly enthusiastic when I received your world newsletter from a pastor who is the Kitwe Police Chaplain. After reading it, something came to my mind to write you this letter. So I'm asking if I can be able to receive your literature, books, and Bibles on a monthly basis. You don't know how much this has enlightened my mind and my heart, and bears witness with my heart of many things I thought on my own, but your wisdom is more than my understanding. God bless you and your ministry. I am waiting for your reply. Thank you. Yours faithfully, Evangelist Christopher from Kitwe, Zambia.
God's wisdom is incredible. Amen.
Amen.
Now he's got in the book of Revelation, the end of the world, the end of the age, you know, the Lord's coming back. He shows us pictures and condenses everything. Amen.
Amen.
That's wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
Because, you know, the human brain is not too bright. It's just made out of the dirt of the ground. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to know how to read the book of Revelation. Now, the key to reading it happens to be the first verse where it says he showed these things to John. And then when you realize that these are all pictures, then it makes the book of Revelation easier to understand. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, it's a difficult book if you don't have the key. All right, then what?
That was it.
That was it? Okay, now let's start reading. Sharon?
We are the real children of God who are being transformed that we may be built up as a house to serve God as a corporate body of believers.
Right. When the Spirit, when you're the shining, when you're a member of God's, Christ's body with the essence of God, which is purity in you, then you're the light of the world. And so you're the real children of the Lord. Okay, read that line again.
We are the real children of God who are being transformed.
And as we learn more and we receive more of the Lord's wisdom in us and understanding and knowledge, we become more and more transformed to a personality that is capable of entering the kingdom of heaven and living there forever. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're receiving more and more eternal life as we learn of the Lord. But it's not just a learning process, nor is it a discussion thing or something to debate. But it's the things that we're learning must be lived out. And the human flesh can't do it, but if we let our human flesh be mortified and our soul, and let the Spirit of God overpower our soul and our flesh, then our spirit that is resurrected with the Spirit of the Lord is able to do all things in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors in Christ. In, this is the key word, is in Christ Jesus. We must live in Him and not in the world. We're in the world, but we're not living in it. We're living with Christ seated on the throne in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? Then we become the real Christians. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We are the real children of God who are being transformed that we may be built up as a house to serve
God. A house, in other words, a body, just one body, one house, that we may what?
To serve God as a corporate body of believers to express our Lord Jesus Christ.
Or for Christ to express Himself in and through us. When we're dead, our old life is dead, and when our bodies and our souls are mortified by the power of God in our spirit, by His Spirit, well, then we become a member of God. We have His essence, gold, which is like purity. We have the seven spirits of God. All these are Christ. We are the lampstand, the church. All right? And we are the shining of God in this world because we let Him represent Himself. All right? Then what else?
God's serving ones are the ones who...
See, if we serve the Lord, then we serve Him, our body, as a human sacrifice for Him to use to represent Himself. We're the serving ones. If you see people in a church that are sitting doing nothing, or they just lay around or play games or watch movies or play video games. I never played games. I don't play games. I mean, this is a waste of time. I mean, the Lord wants to do work in you people that are doing video games. While you're doing a video game, what profit is that? While you're watching some picture, unless you're praying and you're... I mean, the Lord wants to move on you. Maybe He wants you outside the house and here you are playing a video game. Or checkers or chess or whatever you play. I've heard of this Dungeon and Dragons, or is that the name of it? Dragons and Dungeons or something. Okay, anything, any kind of a game. Okay, what else?
God's serving ones are the ones who tabernacle with God.
Right. Go ahead.
This is Jesus. While Jesus was on earth, He was God's tabernacle. God abode in Him, and all of God's serving ones went with Jesus to tabernacle with Him.
Right. If you're of God, then you stay with God. Amen?
Amen.
But if you're this world, you're into video games and... doing crossword puzzles and attending going to Vegas and playing the slots and stuff. I've done this before. I went to Vegas and so on. But if I was to put a quarter in the machine, I would be talking to the Lord and say, Lord, is this all right? And would the Lord say yes? I think not. You might mingle with the crowd there to witness to people, but you're not much of a witness. What else?
Jesus said, quote, I am the door, unquote, John 10:7. He means that He is the only opening for His people to enter in and for them to come out. Revelation chapter 1. Jesus makes the revelation known to us by signs, pictures. This is the key which opens the entire book of Revelation. Without the key, the book of Revelation is closed to us. We must understand the signs, the pictures. Christ is the revelation of God Himself. The revelation is both from Christ and about Christ.
Right. Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, so it's... from Christ to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And then Christ gives it to His servant. He shows it to him. He doesn't tell it to him. He shows it to him. Amen?
Amen.
He says some words, but mainly he shows them signs and pictures, symbols. Okay, then what?
Again, since Christ is the revelation of God himself, John chapter 1, verse 18, God
again,
gave...
Let's read that, John 1, 18. So that people know that I'm not making this up.
No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
Right. He told us what he's like. Amen?
Amen.
He's the revelation of God. And in other words, if he's the one that's showing us God on earth because he's living as God, the life of God on earth, as we as Christians must do, if we're living the life of God, or God is living his life in us, then we're the revelation of God to the world today. And it's not us that's revealing it, because it's Christ revealing himself, the fullness of the Godhead, bodily revealing himself in the world today through you. And me? Yes, me too. All right, then what?
God gave the revelation to Christ to be shown to John by...
Shown is the ticket. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
To be shown to John by means of an angel, messenger. The word revelation refers to an unveiling or exposure of God's program for the world through Christ.
Right. Now, how would we know what the program is? Say some people are sitting in churches and they feel it's all right to go home and do video games and play the crossword puzzles and read movie magazine and watch pornography or break open, get drunk or have sexual intercourse with the same sex, or with being unmarried and having sex with other people, or lusting with your eyes. But the Lord shows us that that is not so. He showed us that even if you look at a woman in lust, and this goes for a woman, a man with lust in your heart, that you've committed adultery already. Amen?
Amen.
So Christ is the revelation of God. And the words that he spoke were God's words, so you must take heed to them. If you're of God, then you're letting God live his life out in you. God... I've never seen in the Bible where he did crossword puzzles. Amen?
Amen.
Or that he sinned. He lived a sinless life by the power of God in him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The book must be understood in accordance with God's perspective on time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 and verse 8.
Okay, somebody look that up right quick so she can read it. We only have a few minutes left, so you have to... this is why I put it in there. So that you could find it. You have it there?
Yes. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
Right, but now this is a time program here. We know that we're at the end of time because we can understand the book of Revelation. It's only to be unveiled or revealed at the time, when the time is at hand of the actual end of the ages, the end of the world, the end of time, the end of the world. Okay, then what?
Then verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
That just means that God has all the time in the world. We have maybe 100 years at the most. Most that you're going to live. A lot of people die when they're born, or a year or two. But the Lord has got all the time in the universe. He never ends. So 1,000 years is nothing to him, but to us, 5 years is 70 years is a lot. The Psalmist David says, once I was young and now I am old. 70 years old, he died. And he was considered to be old at that time. But God is... there's no age on him. He never... he was always there. Amen?
Amen.
No mother, no father, he was there. He had no beginning and no ending. There's no ending with him. He lives forever. And that's why if we're in his spirit, if he lives in us, that we live forever also with him. Okay, then what? But we must live with him in this world. If you think that you're a Christian, you're just, your mind is just, you want to have diversions because God isn't interesting enough to you, so you have to do crossword puzzles or video games. That's more interesting to you than, you know, video games are, will take you to hell. Well, you say, what sin is that? The sin is that you're not with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what the sin is. Because if you love the Lord and you keep his commandments and you follow him wherever he goes, he's not going to follow you wherever you go. All right? He's not going to follow you to the crossword puzzle or the video game. Because you've left and forsaken him. He never leaves or forsakes a person unless you leave and forsake him. Then he lifts his spirit from you. Okay, then what?
The word signified, esimanen, refers to the conveyance of truth by means of signs and symbols.
Right, it means I'm conveying the end time to you, the time and the play, everything that's going on today with signs, because the time is short. I have to condense it. You haven't time to read 1,000 books that describes maybe the church. I'm going to show you what the church is in one picture. Okay, then what?
And it refers to the visions described throughout the book. Symbols must be interpreted either from something in the context or from other scripture.
Right, because the scriptures, you must know the other scriptures in order to understand the book of Revelation. Okay, then what?
The first sign picture in Revelation, which John the Apostle saw, is the lampstand. In chapter 1, we read that John, on the Lord's Day, on the island of Patmos, saw seven golden lampstands.
I saw the Isle of Patmos when I was over in Greece and the Middle East. Then what else? We went by it in a boat. Then what?
John saw the seven lampstands. The seven lampstands are the seven churches, Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. To describe what the church is in its spiritual significance would take 10,000 thick books, but only one sign, just one picture, is better than 1,000 words. What is the church? What should the church be? We need to see the lampstands. The church must be golden. Gold symbolizes God's nature, his essence. This shows us that the church must have God's essence as its substance. This gold...
It must have God's essence. In other words, that spirit, pure. God is pure. Then what?
This gold must be in the shape of a lampstand. A lampstand which shines with a sevenfold brightness. So the gold nature is a symbol of God's essence, and the essence.
This is made out of metal. This microphone. The essence of it is iron or steel or whatever it's made of. The essence of the Lord is gold. It's eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
So you must have life in you if you're at the church. Then what else?
And the shape of the lampstand is the symbol of Christ as the embodiment of the triune God. And the seven lamps are the seven spirits, Revelation chapter 4, verse 5.
Right, and I put at the very end of my writings here where you can find the, it's in Zechariah and also Isaiah. So give them those scriptures.
Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2.
You'll find the seven spirits there and then in the Old Testament, and then?
Zechariah chapter 3, verse 9, and yes. Chapter 4, verse 10.
Right, okay, then go ahead.
This is the Trinity. The Spirit shines onto the world. Christ is the embodiment, and God is the essence.
And we are the embodiment of the triune God. If you're really a part of the, if you're a church, if you're a member of the church, the body of Christ. And I see that our time is up today. I want to keep going. You know, can't we own our own network? so I can just go until, you know, the Lord stops me. But anyway, we have to stop now. If you want to be a member of the body of Christ, the church, if you want the fullness of the Godhead bodily living in you, if you want to be born again of the Spirit, then you say this prayer to the Lord. This is where it all begins. Say unto the Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he is God. And I believe that he himself, God, raised himself from the dead. He says, I lay my life down, and I bring my life back up. I am the resurrection and the life. I believe that you shed your blood on the cross for my filthy sins to take them away. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You said so. You would never turn it. Anyone that calls upon you shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me because this includes me. And therefore, I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. Say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the living God. Now we have four ways that you're able to get a copy of this program, and ask for program 152, and specify, please, if it's a tape that you want or a CD. We have both. And it's absolutely free. Everything that you get from us is free. The Lord freely gave me salvation, and I just would feel it's horrible to charge for any of this. So tell them how to receive a copy of the tape or a Bible or literature or whatever.
Go to alamoministries.com or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax area code 479-782-7406.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, make sure you tune in tomorrow. It'll be how to have God's life living in you. Will be part 51. And then until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the name of the Lord. You're saved now. Those of you that let him enter you. And now remember, you know, you're a member of Christ, a member of God Almighty. His essence is in you, and you must make it grow by reading his word and not just discussing it or debating it, but being a part of the letting God do his work in and through you. Until tomorrow, God bless you. Amen.